Welcome to the Tim Black Show. This is a Pause with Tim Black podcast. We do this podcast now every Wednesday. Welcome back to it, Johnson. Come on, man. It's been a minute. It has officially been a while. I know why people thought this was over. No, it wasn't. Damn, I miss talking to you guys. You guys are so real. You know, I hate phony. I hate the phony over, like, you know, the people that can't keep it 100. We keep it 100 on this show, okay? So we're going to keep it 100. This is going to be a very 100 show. This is the blackest show on the internet because we keep it very black. But you know what we don't do? And I'm proud of this. I'm very proud. And I stand on this, Johnson. 10 toes down. 24/7. 7 days a week. Twice on Sundays. Standing up for black. Does that mean you don't tell the truth? We got people out here talking about they stand up. All they doing is capping. Motherfucker, that ain't the same thing, all right? When I see white supremacist bullshit or racism or discrimination, I call that shit out. I don't care what party it is. I don't care who doing it. I nail that shit to the wall. You or some of these people I'm talking about just say any old shit as a weapon. That's not the same thing, motherfucker. That's not the same thing. That's not... And if it helps their careers. They like paint, they cloak themselves in blackness. Like a jacket they grab out of the closet because it's raining outside, like a rain jacket. Like, uh-oh, criticism. Whew. Throw on that black raincoat. Now none of this criticism will fall on my ass. They got their deflector shield up, their black deflector shield. Nah, that's not how this works. In fact, when people do that, this is what you need to know. When we allow others to do that, they undermine us. They undermine us, they undermine our legacy, they undermine the truth, they shit on our forefathers, they shit on our ancestors. See, when you allow people to cloak themselves in blackness just to perpetrate, as you would call it back in the day, perpetrating a fraud, then you're culpable. You're on that bull, okay? That's not a good thing. So I just want to encourage everyone to recognize there's a difference, okay? Okay, I'm off my soapbox. Now can we get on to the show? Yes, we can, Tim. Okay, so on the top of the story, the top of the show, there was another shooting. This time it's in Tulsa. Okay, this was in Tulsa. That's what it was. It's crazy. Didn't we just have an anniversary of the Tulsa massacre? I think it was a day ago. Right? We have that anniversary, and the day after that anniversary, we have a mass shooting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. 5 people are dead, including the gunman, and it occurred in the hospital. A gunman went in with a handgun and a rifle. And he commits to open fire. So this happened today. It was at the St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Multiple people are injured. Those people, I don't even have the numbers on the amount of people that were injured during this catastrophe, this heinous action. In fact, the facility, ironically, has been characterized as a catastrophic scene. According to the Associated Press, the police also stated the shooter is also dead, although it's unclear on how he died. So as I stated, a man entered into this medical facility, the St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, armed with a rifle and a handgun and shot multiple people. The shooter's down, but there's no confirmation on his status or motive at this time. They believe that the gunman may have killed himself. The shooting came just 8 days after a mass shooting, as we all know, in Uvalde, Texas, and a mere 18 days since the massacre that occurred in Buffalo, New York, at the Tops supermarket. He carried a rifle and a handgun, opened fire in a medical office building in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mayor Bynum said that some families of the victims had not yet been identified or informed about what had happened. So there were, at the time when I grabbed the information, some information was not available due to not me not caring, but due to me not it not being available on certain websites. I want to give my condolences to those affected by this heinous act. But what we do know about this is this, according to reports, the shooter was a black man, age 35 to 40. What we don't know are the victims, who they were. Were they friends? Were they family members? The mayor says, in a statement, I heard the mayor say, excuse me, the victims may be a combination of both employees and patients. So I don't want to speculate as to what happened. But I know a couple of weeks ago, there was a shooting outside of a hospital based on an argument that took place inside of the hospital, because things get very contentious when families are dealing with medical issues and what have you. Once again, I'm not at all certain about what happened here. So, five dead in a shooting that occurred, and this qualifies as a mass shooting based on the criteria that we've commonly been using as of late, which would put us at around 222 mass shootings in the U.S. so far in 2022. Yeah. Somewhere around that number. Don't hold me to that, but it's somewhere around. It's over 200 mass shootings. So there you go. What say you? Okay, so what I think about this is I think that once it's something that happens in the ether, Johnson, something that occurs with human beings. When they hear one thing happen in one place, it inspires others. Maybe not on a conscious level, but it puts into the psyche the possibility of what can be duplicated. Get what I'm saying? It's just, I think Malcolm Gladwell, the author, wrote about this in a book called The Tipping Point, where once one thing, but now this is based on actual historical data, right? Where they noticed that there were a number of self-harms, end-of-life self-harms, that occurred in this town. And once the word about the self-harms had become popularized or mainstreamed, people began to know about it more and more, they started noticing a rash of duplicates or people doing the same thing. Now, when you look at it up close, you can't tell, but if you look back, you take a step back, and you compare it to other times, you compare it to other, as we could say, time frames, you see, well, what's different about this time and that time? And then they were able to pinpoint, or some of the people that were investigating this were able to pinpoint that maybe it had something to do with the notification, the popularization, the advertisement, the coverage of these events, which inspired, once again, whether it's deliberately or subconsciously without people knowing it, it puts into your mind that, yeah, you know, this is a thing that can be done. It's sort of like when they say the first, what was it? It was something about a relay race, right? Or the quarter mile or some of it, the 440. It was like there was a barrier. No one could run the 440 in a certain amount of time. Somebody in the comment section probably knows this, right? Until one guy broke the record. And they sort of like broke this barrier that no one else could break. And once it was believed that this person ran this incredible speed, in this incredible incredible lengthy distance, then others started to be able to do it. And it was like, no one could do it. No one did it up until, say, 1975. And then once this guy does it, everybody can do it. It's like, this guy's doing it. This guy's cracking it. This woman's cracking it. Oh, God, everyone's beating this time that stood as a barrier, as almost like impossible. So what I'm saying to you is that one of the horrible things about our media is that we dramatize. We give coverage to heinous events. Sometimes they don't do it so thoughtfully, okay? And what it does is it conjures up and it inspires assholes to go out and duplicate those events. That's why there should be some level of scrutiny in your coverage other than monetary gain. But ever since our friend Bill Clinton fucked with the Telecommunications Act, made it possible for these entities to conglomerate, okay? He screwed us. And now, media, news media in particular, is just a form of, it's like selling hamburgers. It's like a hot dog stand, okay? Sell more hot dogs. All right, once again, our condolences to the families and friends and the loved ones and all those affected by the heinous actions in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I don't know if this was like, I'm always inevitably, there's going to be some people that think, Tim, did this even happen, Johnson? Did this shit go down, Johnson? Did they activate this guy? Did somebody waterboard him and make him go out and do this? You know, we can speculate all types of speculations. You can speculate until your head falls off, but you won't know. It would be nice. It would be nice to kind of have facts. If I find facts that lead me to that conclusion, I'll say it loud and clearly. But I think one thing that people need to realize is that we have a big country. Yeah, America's a big country. You know, like some of our states in other countries would be considered a country themselves. New York is its own country. California is its own freaking country, Johnson. You know, we have a lot of people in the United States of America. No matter what you want to cover, no matter what idiosyncrasy, no matter what heinous act, no matter what degenerate thing, activity that you want to find out about or uncover, you better believe it's going on somewhere, sometime, right now in America, somewhere, because America's that fucking big, okay? So you don't need to activate people to get people to shoot one another. That happens every weekend. Hell, that happens, not even, there I go, tapping, you know, minimizing how often it happens. You know what it is, man? It's just, I think as human beings, we can't wrap our heads around how minuscule we are and how many people there really are in the country. You know, we can't fathom it. You know, whatever town you're in, you don't think about there's maybe 100,000 people in your town. You just know, get out of my way, I'm going to work. Get out of the way. These cars doing out here. But if everybody in your town jumped on the road at one time, it would be a fucking parking lot. But you can't wrap your head around how many people there are, man. And all I'm saying, it does not require the CIA, the FBI, not saying they don't do shit, just saying it does not require them. What I think we should be looking at, Johnson, we should be looking at the news coverage. See, that's a little different because the news coverage is, like I pointed out, a conglomeration. Like, only like 8 companies own like 90% of our news media, right? So that's what you could be looking at, is why they're covering it this way. Ah, see? See how that works? See, that's the part. That's the damn part, Johnson. That's the part people forget. So consider that. Not so much did this thing really happen. You don't need to go down to Alex Jones Road. Look at what's easier. The fact that you only got 8 companies owning 90% of the news, and then they're reporting the same story. There you go. Where's the kitty saved in the tree story? Why is that not being covered? Okay, we're gonna talk a little bit later about the Asian American Pacific Islander Month news item I want to cover, and there had to be at least one story that could have been covered this month of people helping each other who happen to be different races, and one of those races that are being helped are Asian Americans, but that would not jive with what? It would not jive with the narrative. All right. Next story. Look, comments, put comments below. Hit me up. Let's keep this conversation going. We getting any likes on the show? Anybody liking the show? Courtney, are they hitting like? Because you guys hit like for me and Courtney, Tim Black and Mrs. Black and Courtney SLP and Nat A. And could David Melford's probably here? Because David's pretty reliable on this shit. Could we get a little, could we get some likes? Stephanie, what's up? Always trying to stay real, sister. Sign of the Times, what's up, Sign of the Times? Welcome back, Sign of the Times. All right, guys, I got to do it now. Now I have to do it. We covered a very serious topic of the Tulsa shooting. Now, we must go to a topic that similarly is important, or let's just face it, a hell of a lot less important. Let's talk about Johnny Depp beating the brakes off of Amber Heard. Yeah, I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but I want to point out something. She didn't seem truthful. Yeah, like, I did not watch a lot of the Johnny Depp trial, but I just didn't feel it, man. Look, it's very obvious who the better actor was. I don't know who's the most offended or who was the one who was most brutalized or abused, but I know who's got the better acting skills. Johnny Depp. Okay. After 3 days of deliberations, the jury determined that Johnny Depp had proven that Amber Heard had made defamatory statements about him that damaged his career. Back when she wrote an op-ed for the New York Times, about surviving sexual and domestic violence. New York Times or Washington Post, it's one of those. It's a big paper, a paper of record. She didn't write this shit in TMZ. She didn't get it published on the TimBlackTV.com website. No, she wrote an op-ed about Johnny Depp that got worldwide circulation. Here goes the findings of that jury. Here. I could find it over here, Johnson. We got it over here?
Claim against Ms. Heard. One, as to the statement appearing in the online op-ed entitled Amber Heard, I spoke up against sexual violence and faced our culture's wrath. Do you find that Mr. Depp has proven all the elements of defamation? Answer, yes. Has Mr. Depp proven by a greater weight of the evidence that, question, the statement was made or published by Ms. Heard? Answer, yes. Question, the statement was about Mr. Depp. Answer, yes. Question, the statement was false. Answer, yes. Question, the statement has a defamatory implication about Mr. Depp. Answer, yes. Question, the defamatory implication was designed and intended by Ms. Heard. Answer, yes. Question, due to circumstances surrounding the publication of the
This is really bad. Like everything against the wall about Amber Heard here was not going away. All of this was looking bad for her. In fact, it seems like there is just no winning for her in this thing. And it's true, there was none. I mean, the court did not side with her at all. You know, that's just how it is. I think there's a little bit more hope.
As against Amber Heard, we the jury award compensatory damages in the amount of $10 million. As against Amber Heard, we the jury award compensatory damages in the amount of $10 million. As against Amber Heard, we the jury award punitive damages in the amount of $5 million.
That's a lot of dollars, Johnson. That's going to leave a mark, Johnson. I don't think she's making that many movies, man. That's not going to That's not going to be good for her. We'll explain that because it's going to shake out to be a little bit less than $15 million, particularly. But outside, let's go here. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit different because, see, in Virginia, where this lawsuit was filed, the punitive damages part are capped at $350,000. So it's $10,000 in compensatory damages and $5 million in punitive damages, capping it at $350,000. That's a big difference, Tim Black. That's what the ruling is. $10,350,000 will be the actual ruling. But it turns out that also Amber Heard won a portion of her case, one of her counts, and they awarded her $2 million on her countersuit. So that's going to bring that down to $8,350,000. Now, a lot of people, many people on the internet have been talking about this case. And like I said, I'm going to be honest, guys, I did not watch a whole lot of it. But whenever I watch clips, such as the lead attorney, I'm going to shout out the lead attorney because he does some good work over there and I want to shout him out. I noticed that Amber Heard was lying a lot. What I mean by lying a lot, there'll be people on the stand. First of all, Johnny Depp had a lot more witnesses. The witnesses seem to be more credible, the ones that I saw. And the demeanor just in the courtroom just seemed to be a different type of energy. And like I said, maybe that's acting skills, but it came across as sincerity skills, like sincerity. So I noticed by reading the room that a lot of people seemed to be more in favor of Johnny Depp winning. And it was noticeable outside the court office, so the courthouse. Yeah, you can kind of tell. I don't know if you guys could tell. I could tell. Yeah, it looks like they're a little happy about Johnny Depp winning. It's not good. If you ever heard, that's probably not much fun. That kind of ticked you off there. But it's important to know that Amber Heard, she countersued for $100 million and she only got two. Uh-oh. And she sued over specific statements made by Johnny Depp's lawyer, and that's what she got the award for. So, I also want to point out some of the things that I've been reading from my viewers who made comments, and some of my people on Facebook as well. One commenter said, They're both so toxic. Yeah, one of my commenters said both Johnny and Amber were very toxic people, but they're glad this whole thing is over. I love Johnny Depp, but they're both so damn toxic. All this poor Johnny shit, give me a break. Okay. I can see that. I mean, you don't personally know Johnny Depp, even though he seems like a good guy, you know? Especially that Freddie helped out, gave him art space so he could create his art. I thought that was dope. That's one thing I saw was a testimony of a friend who Johnny Depp put up in a house, a penthouse at this expensive place, just so he could do work, just so he could do his artwork. Helped him out, changed his life. It's what money can do. You can take money and do things. That's why all the time I keep telling y'all, cut the check. Because when people have money, people can help other people. It's part of it. Help their family, they can help their friends, they can help a starving artist. Also, we have some other comments about Amber Heard. Here goes one that says, some feel that Amber Heard weaponized domestic violence. Took woman's real grief, cloaked herself in the grief. Oh, I've been abused. I've been hurt. Johnny Depp is mean, mean man. And really, when it came out in the trial, was that Amber Heard was more of the aggressor. Amber Heard was the bully. Amber Heard was the one, her voice laughing after kicking Johnny Depp's ass or hitting him and him complaining and saying, you know, you big baby, always complaining when I hit you. Always complaining when I hit you. Ah, you get hit sometimes. Sometimes women beat their man. What's the problem? Lighten up, damn it. Lighten up. Now, if that would have been Johnny Depp's words saying that about Amber Heard, this shit would have been over in 2 seconds. But since it was Amber Heard, we still had to sit through another 2 weeks of testimony. Can you imagine the man sitting up there trying to explain why he bragged about and called his woman a punk for not being able to take a punch? So if you find that hard to believe or hard to swallow, yo, check this out, man. Amber Heard's statement. I'm going to read it to you, okay, because I want you to... Here it is. The disappointment I feel today is beyond words. I'm heartbroken with the mountain of evidence still was not enough to stand up to the disproportionate power, influence, and sway of my ex-husband. I'm even more disappointed with what this verdict means for other women. It's a setback. It sets back the clock to a time when a woman who spoke up and spoke out could be publicly shamed and humiliated. It sets back the idea that violence against women is to be taken seriously. I believe Johnny's attorney succeeded in getting the jury to overlook the key issue of freedom of speech and had no evidence that was so conclusive that we won in the UK. I'm sad I lost this case. But I'm sadder still that I seem to have lost a right that I thought I had as an American to speak freely and openly. You see, give it up for that. See, there's a problem with Amber Heard's statement here, guys. And that is, if anybody's setting women back, it's women like you setting women back. Don't get it twisted. There are men. That was a good one. Don't get it twisted. There are men who are in the way, and there are ways of doing things. You got these old school dudes who think it's okay to do certain shit. They used to do in the 40s and the 50s and the 70s and the 80s. It's a new day. It's very, you know, things have changed. But it doesn't help, Amber Heard, when you are on tape beating on your husband. You defecated in his bed, woman, and laughed about it. There's a lot that came out that was very disturbing in this trial. And like I said, I watched maybe 6% of it. And every time I cut it on, I was like, Jesus Christ. I want to be Johnny Depp's friend. Take him out for a beer and he's rich. He doesn't need my money. Well, he could pay for it. Let's keep it real. And Amber Heard, just want to show her the door. That's because her stories do not ring true. She got beat to a pulp, according to her. The injuries that she described herself getting from Johnny Depp were so severe, she would have had to have medical attention. But there's no medical records. There's no proof that she went to the doctor. Nothing. So either you're lying that you needed medical attention, or you're lying about the severity of the run-in. Either way, it sounds like BS. So anyway, that's it. That's it. If anybody set women back, it would be Amber Heard with her BS, and it's important for women to hold women accountable, as it is important for us as Black Americans to hold Black Americans accountable for using our Blackness to their own, for their own come up. Being Black should not be a come up. All right? It's not a come up. Don't use it as a come up. If you got a legitimate gripe, let's voice it. But it's sort of like the little boy that cried wolf, Amber. Using your femininity, your white femininity, current tears, in order to extract millions from your rich husband, and that shit not work out, sound like a you problem. Now you got to pay for it. All right. Damn, it feels good to be back here, man. Damn, it feels good to see people up on it. Because I remember when, at first they wasn't. Now guess what they caught from my cousin? The vapors. Nancy Pelosi. Her husband is a lush. The apple doesn't grow far from the other bushes on the vine. Nancy Pelosi's husband was recently in a car accident after leaving a dinner party where at a friend's house when he got into a car accident and was arrested for DUI. That's according to his attorney, not according to Tim Black. The California Highway Patrol has released details of the vehicle crash that led to the arrest of Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband late Saturday night for allegedly driving under the influence. This guy was toe up, Johnson. Yeah, he was here. His head was tight, Johnson. Have you seen the pictures of the shit Look, he ran a stop sign, okay? He ran the stop sign. And then he ran into the people's shit. There you go. Here's the sign. There he is, running into people's shit. That's this guy. All right, I don't even know. I forget his name. All right, who cares what his name is? His name is Pelosi's husband. Okay, so there it is. That's a good sign of. There he is. Bam. That's the one. He tore that damn thing up, Johnson. There it is. Way to go there. Paul Pelosi. That's it. The husband of Nancy Pelosi was arrested for drunk driving on Saturday night after his car collided with a Jeep knocking over this fence. And I know you're thinking, Tim, why is this a big deal? You know? And you're right. It's not a big deal. But I want to talk about it anyway because I don't much like Nancy Pelosi. I think she's a hypocrite. And that's why I don't like her. I don't personally know her. She could be great at Pinochle. She may even know how to play spades. She may not even call black people spades. I don't know. She might be cool peoples. I doubt it, but it's possible. The problem I have with her is she's full of shit. Okay? One of the reasons why we're covering this is because, well, the cops apparently took them an hour. What's up with cops and taking an hour? It took them how much time? 80 minutes to get this guy a breathalyzer test? Here it is. California Highway Patrol released Sunday night that Paul Pelosi's 2021 Porsche was struck in Napa Valley after he ran a red light. No, he ran a stop sign. He ran something. As he was attempting to cross the state Route 29, he was hit by a Jeep, a 2014 Jeep. Then he got out of his Porsche and said, "What is this piece of shit you are driving, you peasant? Puh. Don't touch me. Gosh, I'm highly intoxicated. I see three of you. You and the rest of your friends are lucky. You know who I am. I'm... This guy was really sauced up, man. You know Nancy Pelosi owns a vineyard? Imagine owning your own vineyard. I want to own my own cognac distillery. No, I don't, Johnson. No, I don't. Don't get high on your own surprise. No injuries were reported. And Paul was arrested after 80 minutes after law enforcement responded to the scene. That's the problem I got, Johnson. How the hell would it take 80 minutes to arrest your ass? Has anybody here ever been picked up for DUI or DWI? Anything, any of the UIs or WIs or DIs? It takes a lot less than 80 minutes to lock your ass up for that. Yes, Johnson. They let him sleep it off. Oh, sorry, old chap. I'm getting a little tired here. You know who I am. I'm Paul Pelosi. Leave me alone, cops. Oh. Oh. I'll have my wife. My wife is Speaker of the House, I have, you know. And I'm positive that... Oh. A public booking report by the Napa County Sheriff's Office lists Paul Pelosi as being booked early Sunday morning on charges of driving under the influence. His bail was set at $5,000. A representative Pelosi told CBS News that he had been at a dinner party in Oakville until about 10:15 and drove the short distance home by himself. By himself. Paul Pelosi's 83 still getting it in, Johnson. This guy is a maverick. Not only is Paul a hypocritical, insider trading asshole, he's living his best life. Living his best life. And go back and forth with you, Democrats or Republicans. Living my best life. And this is funny. This is hilarious. So listen. A representative for Pelosi told CBS he'd been at a dinner party in Oakville about 10:15 and drove the short distance home by himself. They added that he was fully cooperative. Oh, what's he going to do, fight? Put him up. Put your hands up, you freaking... You go... The lawyer's writing this, whoever wrote this, Representative for Pelosi's writing this as if there was an option for Paul here. Like Paul was gonna kick some ass. And those cops are like, shit, I'm glad this, glad this guy didn't put up a fight, man. We would have known what we would have been able to do. See, one thing rich people don't have to worry about is getting shot by cops. They would probably apologize to him. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Pelosi, I'm so sorry that, Jesus, gonna have to. What is it, young chap? What is it? Gonna have to, take you in. Oh, don't worry about it. Chin up, old chap. I'll be out in no time. You just have to do what's best. Do what's best for you and your kids. I mean, your futures are over, obviously. But you do what's best so that you can sleep at night. Not that you'll be living indoors anymore because, well, you are fucking with the best. I am very powerful. We'll destroy you. But you must have ethics. I love a person with ethics. I bet you that cop was kissing his ass. I'm so sorry I gotta do this. I'm so sorry. It's not us. Not us. It's not how they treat us. He was fully cooperative with authorities. And look, they didn't process him until... Processing took until 7:30 on Sunday. Goddamn, Johnson. The accident happened at 10:15 and you didn't get processed till 7:30 a.m.? This guy was drunk because he didn't know where he was. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Democratic leaders have green-lighted a plan. Now here's the thing, guys. This is the thing, all right? You say, Tim, what is really your gripe with Nancy Pelosi? I got several gripes with Nancy Pelosi. She's against progressive policies. She's an impediment to progress. And she once got on TV and bragged about all her ice cream in front of poor people. She's so out of touch. She's been in Congress eight times, or the other thing is, if you can rig the system, you should not be able to vote and determine an industry and then be able to capitalize off of the votes of that industry. You get to pick the winners and losers if you're Speaker Pelosi, a part of these committees. And then you get to determine like how the outcomes of commerce. And then you want to be a person that's, hold on. You know, and then you want to say, well, no, we, you know, insider trading, you want to be able to trade stocks. Your husband buys up all this stock. Do you realize that the Pelosis buy so much stock and do so much trading that there are people, young people on TikTok, investors, young investors, who Pelosi watch? Yeah, their strategy is not to watch and see what Michael Bloomberg is doing, or to see what Green whatever Blast is doing, or no, that guy Kramer who yells. No, they watch Pelosi's trades because they know she's connected inside. So we got people that watch Pelosi's trades because they're publicly disclosed because she's a member of Congress. And they say, okay, it's time to trade on that shit. This is the thing, Johnson. This is happening. That's how corrupt this is. So to those Democrats with your heads in the sand who don't want to know reality, it's Tim's a bad. He must like Trump and the Russians. First of all, fuck you. I criticize whoever I want. Don't like it, get out. But it's so bad that people use Nancy Pelosi as their litmus, her and her husband's activities as a litmus to how they should spend their money, because they know they're not getting lucky by luck. They're getting lucky by rigging the system. Now, it appears that may have been effective on Nancy Pelosi. All of the confrontation online, all of the nonsense that the people have been pushing back with Pelosi on, they've been calling her out, they've been riding her, they've been on her for a while about this, right? So it appears that maybe it's had some effect, because I discovered this today, and I did not know this. Here we go. One of these. This is the one. Congress moves to ban members from trading stocks and Pelosi drops her opposition to it. So at one time, now what I'm saying about Nancy Pelosi is in the past, because at one time she did oppose banning members from trading stocks. She has apparently changed her position. Now she supports it. Now she is green. She has green-lighted a plan to ban members of Congress from trading stock. And Pelosi's direction, the House committee, is drafting the rules and legislation. So, look, guys, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. I'm well aware that, more than likely, Nancy Pelosi is just buckling under the pressure. But my point is, good job. I rock with you. Keep the pressure on these scumbags. You did good. Keep it up. Yes, Johnson. Now, I don't know if you guys were aware, but last month was the Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. And the purpose of the Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month is to recognize the contributions, sacrifices, and the differences or similarities between Asian Americans and other Americans and how that impacts America. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I know there are people who are so mad, and I get why they're mad, because I'm mad too, but I recognize that we need to, you know, this, what's wrong with this? Nothing's wrong with this. Okay, so that was the month of May. May 31st is the last day of the month of May. Hence, the last day of Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. And then I noticed this, there was a clip by Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro put out this clip about this very popular band. Now, don't give me the lion, Johnson. I'm not going to pretend to know who the hell these people are. Okay, can we show them without playing it? Okay, so I'm going to play a clip of these guys. Hold on. I'm going to play a clip of these guys because I don't know these guys. But they're the K-pop supergroup, BTS. Okay? So the BTS was invited to the White House to talk about Asian hate. That's really not what they did. They were there the last day of the month of the Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. That's why they're there. And also, of course, because what would Joe Biden be doing if not trying to win politically, get a political win by having the Asian guys here from South Korea to talk about stuff and make him look good, like he's got it in with the Korean population. So they came to the White House to make Joe Biden look better. And here goes a clip of them at the White House making Joe look like a president.
NHPI Heritage Month.
Today's the last day of the AANHPI Heritage Month. We joined the White House to stand with the AANHPI community and to celebrate. We were devastated by the recent surge of hate crimes, including Asian American hate crimes. To put a stop on this and support the cause, we'd like to take this opportunity to voice ourselves once again.
네, 오늘 저희가 이 자리에
We are here today thanks to our army, our fans worldwide, who have different nationalities and cultures and use different languages. We are truly and always grateful.
전 세계 많은 분들
We still feel surprised that music created by South Korean artists reaches so many people around the world, transcending languages and cultural barriers. We believe music is always an amazing and wonderful unifier of all things.
아닙니다.
It's not wrong to be different. I think equality begins when we open up and embrace all of our differences.
우리는 모두의 각자
Give it up for that. Give it up for that. That's good stuff. I don't know why. Okay, I know why. It's a distraction. It's bullshit. We know it's a distraction. It always is, okay? Whatever. When the president invites anyone to the White House, it's always to benefit them. It's always PR, okay? That's what this is. Sort of like when cops take pictures with little black kids or throw the football with them, and it just so happens to be videotaped. It put up everywhere. Yeah, it's bullshit. It's just, you know, trying to do a little PR stunt. So that's what this is. This is obviously what this is. No one's fooled by it. But what I'm saying, so what? This is what presidents do. What I'm saying about Ben Shapiro is that it was very obvious that Donald Trump did the same thing. Oh, you want us to believe, Ben, that Donald Trump has some type of affinity for the Trump sisters? The Stump for Trump sisters are actually friends with Donald Trump. I think you're more likely to catch Shannon Sharp with a black woman than you are to catch Donald Trump hanging out with those two wing bats. You know, now that he's out. Yeah. So, like, all presidents do this shit. Obama invited different people, Jay-Z, Beyonce. Trump invited Joe Brown and Steve Harvey. You know, this is the game that's played. But of course, leave it to Ben Shapiro, the race-peddling, race-hustling asshole, to try to make this about black people. Yeah, he took a shit on black people. Oh, well, all of the abuse of Asians comes from black people. That sounds like a real stat that I could follow and check there, Ben. All the abuse to Asians come from black people. Yeah, that's what he said in this video. Yeah, you know, I want to go ahead and call bullshit on that one there, Ben. Bullshit. Check this out, Ben. I want to know, because you said that it's black people that have been abusive to Asian Americans. Historically speaking, Ben, when did black people get the planes? Yeah, you know, to drop the bombs on the Asians. If I remember correctly, that was by a white president in a mostly white country. By mostly white Congress, back when you had to vote to go to war. Yeah, so what Ben wants us to do is focus on certain mentally deficient assholes in subway stations in New York City in isolated incidents, numbers of which are pale in comparison to black actual violence on black people by any people, okay? Like, I looked at the data. The numbers of Asians being beat up is trumped. I know you like when I say trumped. It's trumped by the number of black people being beat up. And don't get me twisted, man. I'm not trying to win. This is one race I don't want to win. The point is this. Ben Shapiro, you're full of shit, Johnson. If anybody's been beating up on and hurting Asians, it's white people. When was the last time we overthrew their governments, toppled their leaders, and fucked up their currency? We didn't invent the phrase Kung Fu Flu. Though hilarious, it's not one we could take credit for. Nor would we want to. So Ben Shapiro is an asshole. And see, that's what I'm saying. He uses one. He's pitting Asians versus blacks. No. Don't do it. I have great friends of every stripe. This show allows me to reach all types of people. And I can tell you there are good people and bad people on both sides. On all sides. But there is one side that is very short. And very much a race-hustling, race-bustling baiting asshole. It's Ben Shapiro with his nonsense. Ben Shapiro's entire segment is fabricated just to insinuate that black people are hurting all the Asian people. What's hurting Asian people is they're in America and they got to put up with America. America has problems. If anything, we're being pitted against each other by white supremacy. Which makes the creator, if we really want to talk, I mean, if we really want to talk, Johnson, do you really want to have a conversation about how America pits black people against every other minority in America? Plays them against us. Gives them loans. Gives them opportunities in commerce, business opportunities. And then looks at us and says, hey, why aren't you doing as good as them? Meanwhile, they don't give us the loans at the same rate. Thus creating a lengthy bit of animosity. And the Asian folks not understanding what's happening because they don't have enough 10 black shows on telling Asian Americans how fucked over America is there for black people. How black America's been dogged by white America, the government. How these policies systemically, intentionally set us back so far. And then they bring in Asians and say, see how great the Asians are doing. Well, then maybe Asians would understand where the animosity comes from. But all they feel is negative vibe. So part of the reason why we have any problems, and I'm not even conceding that there's a problem, because I have not seen the data that suggests this. Okay? Not going to give you that. But I will say, if it does exist, I would suggest that it has something to do with the way America has treated African Americans and how they played us against one another and the lack of telling that story effectively so that other minorities know the game, the hustle that is in, and that black people are the victims of this shit, not the perpetrators. Last time I checked, black Americans did not drop napalm on Asian countries, nor did we drop nuclear weapons. Ben Shapiro? See, it's easy to debunk and rebuttal Ben Shapiro. What you should never ever do is kiss his ass to get views. No! Hey, Blackie, stop kissing Ben Shapiro's ass to get views. Instead, there's something else you could do. You could kick his short ass. Instead, take it from me, it's more fun. All right. Last but not least, Johnson. That was fun. That really was fun. I had a good time doing that. That's all right. Feel a little anxious. All right, so last night, Johnson, if you were here for this, you know, and some of you were, some of you weren't. Last night I covered, right here on this very show last night, I covered Monique and D.L. Hughley. And really, we're talking about covering Monique because D.L. Hughley really didn't do anything other than be D.L. Hughley. And I covered and I said that Monique was fucking up. That's why I said Monique was fucking up because she called out D.L. Hughley and she don't need that in her life. She already called out Steve Harvey and Tyler Perry and Lee Daniels and Oprah Winfrey and that's four people. All significantly more powerful than her. I'm like, why are you doing this to yourself? You're hurting your career. Stop doing it. And I had a couple of people that really, I think, mean well, that understand my point of view. And I want to explain it to you very, very briefly. I care about Monique. Yeah, see, I care about Monique more than you do. See, some of you just don't like D.L. Hughley because he kisses Democratic Party ass. And you know what? I don't like that he kisses Democratic Party ass either. He carries way too much water for the Democratic Party. But see, Monique is not talking about that. She's talking about him personally. So what I see is people seeing someone they actually admire, like, appreciate, respect, call out somebody they don't actually like, appreciate, or respect, and then go, good job, knowing there's going to be a price to pay for said action. See, people did this to me. They wanted me to call out people. They love when I call out people. But only my real friends give a shit that then it may jeopardize my career and my business. See, real friends don't want you to burn bridges that you have yet to cross or that you may need to cross back over again just so that they could go, get him, boy! You get him! You did that! That's fucking stupid. See? So, just so that we're clear, I don't agree with a lot of the political shit that Dale Hughley does. But I'm also aware that he's doing it because it's an opportunity. And it could be that he believes certain shit that I just don't agree. I don't believe that Vote Blue Anywho works for us. I don't believe that that's good or in the best interest of black people. But I also don't think it's in the best interest of a black person by the name of Monique to fuck up her career even more, make more obstacles for herself to overcome by going after people. She needs to stop that and get back into the business of doing what made her popular to begin with, which is being funny. She is not a writer for black women by hurting herself. I have yet to see these black women sufficiently gather around her, hoist her on their shoulders, and put loads of money in her pocket. What I've seen is people go, uh-oh. Here she go again, and there'll be a little bit of conversation online, but it's not enough to be worthy of her throwing away all she's worked for. I don't expect for her to listen to this or take this seriously, but I'm a person who I'm a living example of what it does when you go after powerful people. Albeit just in the media space, in the independent media space, and people go, great, you're calling them out for bringing on the Boogaloo Boys. You're calling them out for propping up the Proud Boys. Great, you're calling them out for kissing Tucker's ass. Great, you're going after them. And then when shit hits the fan, ain't nobody there but you. And what did it change? Did it change anything? No. But for those who wanted to see it, they got to see it. And us who do it, we have to suffer the repercussions. Now, I'm not saying it's not important to call people out. Call people out if you want to. Just be aware of the price that's going to be paid. And who will pay that price? It will not be your fans. It will be you. So contrary to popular opinion or unpopular opinion, I say that Monique needs to chill out and stick to the jokes and get off of going after people about what ain't hers and what ain't been hers or whatever the fuck. That's actually love, Johnson. I wish somebody would have shown me some of it. All right, that's it, Johnson. I got nothing but love for you guys, though. You are my Tim Black Wolfpack. If you're a member of the Tim Black Wolfpack or want to become one, go to JoinTimBlack.com, starting only $5 a month. See, they wanted me to go after these people to call them out, and then I couldn't even get them to put up $5 a month. Really give a fuck? Yeah, yeah. Tim, I'm doing this because you help promote this. Hey, Tim, can I come on the show? Hey, Tim. Not even members of my fucking show. They will use you. They use you. And as you lay there, all used up, all your powers disintegrated, they walk away. Oh, go to TimBlackTV.com. I'm also Real Tim Black on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Tim Black and that on Instagram. I'll see you on the next one, Johnson. But first, let me go to the comment section and see if I got some comments to read out. I probably do. Like Stephanie, thank you for becoming a member of the show. She says, I love your show and the way you discuss the issues. Stay true. Always. Sheldon Hughes, keep doing what you're doing, Tim. Love you, brother. Cut the check. Always, Sheldon. T. Holmes, dropping that knowledge right now. I'm trying to, Johnson. I'm trying. Sometimes you got to take it there, man. You know what I'm saying? Now, remember, Friday night. Be here 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The Freedom Friday show will commence. The phone lines will open, and you will have your time to speak, Johnson. And I'm hoping that you are going to show up and put it down, Johnson, because there can't nobody say it like you say it, okay? And I need all hands on deck for that, so I hope to see you there. I'm Tim Black. I'll see you on the next one. Much love to you. Rest in peace, Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta, the great actor who passed away recently. Rest in peace, brother. You'll always be a good fella in my book. Nothing but respect. Guys, send me your email. Send me your thoughts. Send me stories. I need tips on different things to cover. Tim at TimBlackTV.com. Client care at TimBlackTV.com. That's it. A couple of announcements. Did we get enough likes, Johnson? Did we get enough likes? We got a lot of likes. We got some people that like the show. Thank you, Johnson. I appreciate y'all. Nothing but love to you. Nothing but respect. Wolfpack.